Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only Caps News radio show that strictly talks hockey. You got any questions, comments, concerns, whatever you got, give us a call, 204-269-8636. That is 204-269-UMFM.
How are you, Beans?
It's good to see you again.
I know. I'm finally back in studio. Feels good.
Almost forgot what you looked like.
I know. I was going to say it's been a while. I had to get a map to find my way back here. I had no idea where I was going. But
province hopping.
Speaking of province hopping, good song to kick off with. This is recorded in Kingston, Ontario. Headstones with the Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald. Great, great new tune from them in terms of doing a remake of the Gordon Lightfoot song.
There you go.
I like it. Speaking of news, I understand you have a little bit of news, sir. We talked a little bit about it. You mentioned it late on the program last week about potentially playing for some hardware.
Well, you know what? I have been a bridesmaid. I have finally become a bride.
I finally won
a championship.
There you go.
Last Thursday, we won our championship. We won in the third and final game of the series.
Good, yeah.
And we dominated that game, so it wasn't even close. We didn't have to stress about it or anything like that.
But that's good. Right on.
A lot of adult beverages were consumed.
Adult beverages are always a good way to celebrate, yeah.
Trophy is, the cup is drinkable.
Yeah.
So a lot of things were in that trophy.
For germaphobes, that's not good.
Yeah, there was a lot of disease passed around, but it was all good. It all got cured by the other stuff that you were consuming.
There you go.
No, it was fun. Like I said, never won one, and a good group of guys to win it with. I'm actually repping the team hat.
There you go, yeah. I was going to say here.
So, it was fun.
You're doing a good job there. Well done. Congratulations to you and your teammates. That's awesome that you guys brought home a championship. So. Yeah. Good conclusion to the season, I would say, eh?
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
And actually, another former team I used to play, I never won a championship there, but St. Anne's Aces in the Caroline Hockey League.
Whatever it's called.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They won their championship. 4 years in a row they've won.
Right on. Yeah. Good for
them.
They lost
to the Prairie Thunder to play Saskatchewan to go to the Allen Cup.
Yeah, okay.
So, but they lost in two straight
Prairie
games.
Prairie Thunder seem to go like every year, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, well,
they
got a pretty good Steve Christie's their goalie.
I was
going to
say, Steve's a pretty good goalie
yeah,
out there.
They stack their team. St. Anne's plays together all year, but Prairie Thunder stack their team.
For those that don't know, Steve Christie, former Bison's netminder here. He was Athlete of the Year for one of the years he was here, and certainly is still a big part of the Bison program, Bison men's program, as he works with the goaltenders there, Byron Spriggs, and we'll talk about him in a few, probably a little bit later, as he signed a contract this week, although it didn't last for very long, but we'll talk about
just
him.
Needed him for a short
there,
time.
Him and Sidora and everybody else that was playing.
A lot of people were up in arms about that signing, too, not realizing what it was for.
You know, and that's the thing. Like, I get that. Well, let's talk about it now, then, because, I mean, Byron Spriggs got signed this week to an amateur tryout with the Manitoba Moose.
Yeah.
Was there for, like, all of 3 days.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. They were never planning on playing him. But, I mean, I came to his defense and said, look, the dude's a good guy, battles hard, plays hard, never has anything negative to say, despite the fact that Bison's had less than a stellar season this year in terms of the men.
And stats are a little skewed based on the teams he's played
right.
on. Right.
I mean, don't look at the numbers and just go, oh, my God, he's horrible. I mean, the fact that he had a goals against average below 4 is probably a very good thing, considering the Bison's during that whole stretch of when they lost 12 in a row didn't get – I think they gave up 4 or more goals in that stretch like 10 out of 12 times.
Yeah.
And I mean, what are you supposed to do, right? Like, I mean, he's the starting netminder. He's doing everything that he can. He literally was hung out to dry a bunch of times.
Yeah, for sure.
But again, they signed him because Mikhail Burden was sick one night. They needed a goaltender to go with them on the trip. Ken Appleby got the start in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
Byron sat the bench, had a good time, got to practice with the team a little bit, and then Burden comes back for the next game after recovering, and they release him from the contract. Okay, great. No big deal.
Yeah.
But don't freak out, everybody. I get it that they probably could have went out and found a much better goaltender if they needed him, but they don't need him. They have Burden and they have Appleby, and they're doing extremely well.
Yep.
They just needed a fill-in for one night.
Yeah, because it also affected the fact that Lauren Brossoit was hurt.
Exactly,
as well.
Yes.
So that's that
Eric Comrie got pulled. Yeah, exactly.
So they needed a goalie. So, I mean, everybody's up in arms, and I'm just reading Twitter. I'm like, this is like... You guys are making a big deal.
Right. He's not. It's not like he was signed for a contract for this year and the next. Amateur tryout contract can be terminated whenever they want.
They do that all the time,
exactly.
Right? Like, a lot of times it's maybe the day of, and then they just use the 40, 50-year-old goalie, whoever's is the
he's
is
essentially
the extra,
he's
right?
essentially so, an emergency goalie all the time for the Moose. For those that don't know, he actually got into a game, not into a game, I guess, but got onto the bench when the Texas Stars were in town a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Texas had their goaltender, DeRoger, got called up. And they only had one goaltender. You have to dress two. So Spriggs dressed as a Texas Stars goalie. He's also dressed with the Charlotte Checkers we saw last year. He dressed with the Moose last year as well. It's just a way to protect the team because they have to have two dressed goaltenders.
Yeah. It makes sense.
It's the same thing that happened with Gavin McHale and the whole Washington Capitals.
Exactly.
So everybody calm down. It's okay. Byron's a great guy. No problem with Byron suiting up. To be honest, I would hope that maybe a team does reach out and gives him a shot. I don't know if it's going to happen, but he will battle. He will give you everything he's got in practice. You could probably launch a billion shots on him, and he wouldn't complain at all about it.
More work for me makes me a better goalie.
Exactly. Yeah. He's one of those guys that believes in the process, and that's one of those things that Spriggs will never get blamed as. No, work ethic 100%, positivity 100%. He's the kind of guy you want in the locker, or at least around the locker room a little bit, because he's never ever gonna complain about anything. So
there you go.
So nice to see Byron Spriggs get in there. So let's get into some of the bigger stories though. Now that we got Byron out of the way and give him a little redemption because he's an awesome guy. I want to start with maybe a guy who should keep his mouth shut.
There's more than one reason for that, too.
I mean, last time he had his mouth open against Calgary, he got a tooth knocked out, thanks to Matthew Tkachuk.
More than one tooth knocked out.
But at the same time, though, Drew Doughty, for as good as he is, for as phenomenal as he is as a hockey player, probably should keep his mouth shut when there's 2 weeks left in the season and LA is going to golf.
Yeah.
I get that you don't like Matthew Tkachuk. I get that, you know, you have no respect for him. In fact, he even said, quote, when they asked if there's, you know, any love lost between, oh, no respect for him, none. I respect everyone else. I'll never talk to him off the ice. Asked if Tkachuk was the most hated player in the NHL. Doughty said it was likely before adding, I have lots of friends on other teams, and they don't love him either. But whatever. That's how he plays. All it does is fire guys up, and guys take over games, and that happens, like tonight. Tonight, referring to 3 days ago when LA beat Calgary 3-0 in that game, as Jack Campbell stopped 42 shots for the shutout. For the record, Drew Doughty ended that night with no points in 4 penalty minutes.
Yeah.
So don't talk to me about being fired up, number one, because you weren't.
Yeah.
I mean, you played well, but don't get me wrong. You didn't show up on the score sheet.
Yeah.
Two, your team hasn't shown up all season. You're one of the worst teams in the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, say this at the beginning of the season and light that fire underneath everybody so that, I don't know, maybe you beat Calgary more than once in a season. I mean, I don't... Chirping at the end of the season is the most cowardly thing I've ever seen, especially when you're not going to the playoffs. If these two were going to meet in the first round, no problem with those comments.
Yeah.
I have no problem because then we're establishing the fact that this is going to be a war, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But when you're chirping with 2 weeks left in the season, you have one game left against Calgary, and it's virtually meaningless for you, stop.
Yeah. And this comes as he's one of the players voted being one of the best trash talkers. That doesn't mean people like your trash talk and like you for it. You're voted that you got a big mouth on the ice and people know it. So there's people that probably don't like Drew Doughty either. Nobody really cares how you feel about another person. Go out there, do your job, play the game. And if it fires your team up that you're making these comments and doing that, great. But your team is in
dire
need of a boost.
But here's the thing, and I say this with all honesty because I didn't know this stat until I read it. Matthew Tkachuk leads the NHL in penalties drawn with 76. Mm-hmm. He has forced teams into taking 76 penalties on his own.
Yep.
he is doing the job that he was sent out there to do. He's playing a major role out there in terms of being one of the best players on the Calgary team for his overall play.
Yeah.
He is out there being a thorn in the side. He's under the skin of the opponents. He's basically living rent free right now in Drew Doughty's head.
Yeah.
And you look at that and you go, that's what Matthew Tkachuk is about. That's his game.
Yeah.
And he's doing it so well. And again, I get it. LA beat them 3-0. Okay, no big deal. I mean, don't get me wrong. Mike Smith was awful that night.
Yep.
Jack Campbell had 42 saves. Jack Campbell played outstanding. Mike Smith played like Mike Smith. But I say that with all honesty in that Matthew Tkachuk is doing exactly what Bill Peters wants him to do, which is go out there and be a pain in the rear for somebody else.
Yeah.
And he's doing it well.
And him coming up before he was even in the NHL, that was his game.
Exactly.
That was his whole game. And I mean, to give your team 76 opportunities throughout the year to score a goal, to have that man advantage, that's huge. I mean, especially on a potent power play like the Calgary Flames have. I mean, it just makes sense. That, like, more teams should have a player like Matthew Tkachuk.
You would think that you look at guys like throw a couple names out here. Brad Marchand,
yeah.
who does this very well. You would think that there would be a push maybe a little bit more to get that opportunity, have that come in.
No.
Calgary right now, 257 opportunities. They scored 52 times. They're 20.2% on the power play. They're eighth best in the league.
Yep.
You know where LA is?
Probably near the bottom. 26th.
Exactly, yeah. 26th.
I didn't know that. I don't have any information.
At 16.3%. They've only drawn 202. So let me just narrow this down for you, doing the math quickly.
Yeah.
55 more power play opportunities for Calgary, and they're scoring. I mean, they've scored like 20 more goals. But when you look at that, you go, he essentially has occupied like one quarter of all of the power plays. He is the guy that's drawn one quarter of the power plays for Calgary.
Yeah. One guy. That's huge. And that's huge for a team.
Monstrous.
If he wasn't the player he was, say he draws maybe 10 in a season, that's 10 less chances you have to score a goal.
I'm just taking a look.
Sorry, 60 less chances to score a goal.
I'm just taking a look right now. They are third most. They've had the third most power play opportunities in the league. They have more power play opportunities than Tampa Bay, than Nashville, and Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And those are teams that are up there in terms of power play percentage.
Yeah. Yeah, I love his game. I think he's one of the most valuable players in the NHL.
I guess
right
on
now.
Nashville. Nashville's low in the power play percentage. Sorry, that was bad. But they still drawn a bunch of penalties.
Yeah,
like 240.
Nashville's not very well this year.
No.
Power play.
But again, you look at that and you go, this is exactly why Calgary's winning. They're playing a ton of their games on the special teams.
Yeah. That's one of the most valuable traits to have as a player is a pest that can put up points.
And let's flip this around. If Matthew Tkachuk played for the Kings, do you think Drew Doughty would be singing
him.
His praises?
Love him.
Loves best player we got, one of the most important players on our team, guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are the words coming out of Drew Doughty's mouth? The reason that he doesn't like him, though, and again,
play against him five times a season.
Exactly, you see him that often. That's where the rivalry is built.
Yeah, yeah. There's tons of guys out there that maybe don't like another guy because they play him a ton, right? They play him a ton. They get used to it. It becomes a rivalry between players sometimes.
Marchand, Komarov last year with the lick in the playoffs.
Exactly. So you're not going to
Tampa Bay with the lick in the playoffs and Marchand.
You're like, not going to like everybody.
Or whatever it is.
You're not going to like everybody, but we don't have to hear about it. Nobody cares what you think, Drew Doughty.
And I mean, it's nice that Drew Doughty can speak out when there's 2 weeks left in the season and he's getting his golf clubs, ready for the summer.
Shining them up.
But if Drew Doughty had said this at the beginning of the season, do you not think that would fire up Matthew Tkachuk just as much?
Yeah.
Now Matthew Tkachuk's going, all right, as long as I don't get hurt, we're cool.
I'm ready for the playoffs.
I'm not trying to get hurt out here. I don't want to do something dumb.
I'm ready for the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. To me, Drew Doughty needs to keep his mouth shut at this point in the season and say it maybe early in the season and don't be a coward about it. But
Drew Doughty probably, I have two Stanley Cup rings plugging my ears.
And you know what? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But you're also on the golf course with those two Stanley Cup rings right now,
exactly.
Not playing for another one.
Exactly.
So, speaking about rivalries, I know this wasn't something we were going to bring up, but I'm going to bring it up anyway.
Why not?
I'm sick. I'm done. I'm tired of the media complaining about changing the playoff format. And I get it. Some of the players on that player survey from the NHLPA said they don't like the player format as well, or the playoff format as well.
Yeah.
No, my answer to that is no. And the reason for that, and again, I'm going to go back to the olden days. I'm going to go back to the days of the Smythe Division, the Norris Division, Patrick Division, Adams Division, when hockey was 21, maybe 22 teams if you include San Jose in there.
Yeah.
This was a league where you had to go through, if you're in Winnipeg and if you're in Calgary, you know this for a fact. Even LA, even Vancouver.
Yeah.
You know this for a fact. all roads to the Stanley Cup went through Edmonton.
Yeah.
Didn't matter what you looked at.
Every
year. If you go back a little bit further, all roads to the Stanley Cup either went through Montreal or the New York Islanders.
Yeah.
Every year. It didn't matter what team you were. You were ending. You're going to end up playing one of those two teams.
Yep.
At some point.
Yep. So what's the difference to the playoff format now?
The rivalries that were developed out of that, the hatred that was developed for some of the Edmonton and Winnipeg, Edmonton and Calgary,
yeah.
The Battle of Alberta got started because Calgary was so good and just couldn't beat Edmonton.
Yeah.
Again, Winnipeg wasn't as good as Calgary, but we hated Edmonton because we played them in the first round every bloody year.
Yeah, couldn't get past the first round because we had to face the Oilers.
Or the Flames at that point. And then you'd go, okay, Battle of Alberta in the second round. Doesn't matter who else is in the playoffs. It's going through one of those two teams.
Yeah.
That's why there was only three teams that won in the 80s.
Yeah.
Edmonton, Calgary, and Montreal were the only teams that won Stanley Cups in the 80s.
And Calgary only won once.
Exactly.
So it's just like... So what's the, what's the difference?
Well, I mean, the Islanders did as well, I guess, yeah. But that's the beginning of the...
But what's the difference way it is now? Because, you know, you got to beat... no matter what, you got to beat the best team.
Right.
To get to the finals.
And I get it. And again, I 100% agree with, you know, Steven Stamkos about how the top two teams shouldn't be playing in the second round. I get that. That was the argument last year when Nashville and Winnipeg met. It's been the argument for the last couple of years when Washington and Pittsburgh met. I get that. I understand how it's done, but it's called keeping up with the Joneses. And if Edmonton was that good in the 80s, where the Calgary Flames had to load up on all this talent,
yeah.
And they were one of the top teams, where if the Islanders were that good and the Canadians had to load up on that kind of talent,
yeah.
Where if the Bruins were that good in the late 80s, early 90s, and the Canadians had to load up on more talent, and vice versa. If you knew that the other teams in your division were that good and you were loading up, that makes the rivalry that much better.
Yeah.
Stop complaining. And players can talk about, you know, we want to see different changes to the game all they want. Sometimes the fans need to have a say where we go, like, I love the rivalry right now between Winnipeg and Nashville.
Yeah.
I love the rivalry between Winnipeg and Minnesota. I think Minnesota is developing, and we're developing a bit of hatred for Minnesota.
Yep.
I love the fact that over in the East, that Boston and Toronto hate each other.
Yep.
That every spring you know that that's coming, Boston and Toronto. I love the fact that everybody hates Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Again, Tampa Bay is a fantastic team. Take nothing away from them. I love that Pittsburgh hates Columbus and Columbus hates Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But this it's all because we literally went back to the divisional rivalries.
Yeah.
And this is what I need to see more of. I want to see more hatred in the game. Not hatred as in, you know, vile hatred, but just... the general disrespect for another team because we play them so often and they're so good.
Yeah, and it's also funny that the people we hear complaining about it are the teams that can't get past out of those games, right? Like a guy like Steven Stamkos, we can't get to the dance ever because he's got to go through Washington or Pittsburgh or whoever it is. You know, like you said, it creates great rivalries. It actually makes the offseason more interesting, makes the trade deadline more interesting, because teams have to load up to get there.
Who would have thought that Winnipeg hated Vegas in their second season of it? Like,
we didn't even know who Vegas was.
Vegas came to town. It was like, oh, okay, there's new expansion teams coming into town. Oh, okay, they won.
Easy
no big
win.
Deal.
Yeah,
okay, they won. No big deal. And then in the playoffs, it was like, oh, I hate those Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Hate them.
I think we hated them for a different reason,
but it was
a hatred built on because of the way the format
and
is.
And now there's a rivalry in terms of getting that going. Yes. I don't understand if and again, I'm just going to throw this out there. If Calgary and Winnipeg meet in the playoffs this year, if somehow they meet in the Western Conference Final, they both advance and get past their second round opponents, and they meet in the Western Conference Final, it is going to be like the 80s all over again, where these two teams
hatred.
And these two cities hate each other for at least 2 weeks in the spring.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for that.
Yeah. It makes it exciting. The playoff time's exciting, but this format I find it is a little more exciting because you don't get that 1 versus 8 kind of style in the first round. You already get that.
See, and
1 versus almost like a 1 versus 4 game type
exactly
of thing, right?
And I like the fact that familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah.
I want Drew Doughty to come out and rip the Calgary Flames if they're playing each other 7 times in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I want to see that
for sure.
But I don't want to hear Drew Doughty rip him if he's got 1 game left in the season before he's off on the first tee.
Yeah,
like those rivalries are why. Again, when you hear guys, when you hear players, when you hear Ryan Reeves from the Vegas Golden Knights ripping on Winnipeg, because and he's from Winnipeg.
From Winnipeg, yeah.
Like, you kind of go, okay, that's awesome. Like, I would love to see more of that.
Yeah.
But, hey, if I'm Steven Stamkos, I'm going to whine and complain about not liking the playoff format.
Because I want an easier route to get to the finals.
Right. And that's not the way it should. Again, I'm not saying it shouldn't be done like that. I know the NBA does that. I know that other teams. But if that's the case, then why not just go 1-16 again? Like, yeah. They used to play 1 versus 6, the 16th best team, 2 versus 15, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And then reorganize for the second round and then play again and then play again. I don't want to see a team just cruise to the final. I want to see some adversity. I want to see a team push to the brink before coming back and winning a series. I want to see
first round 7-game series.
Right.
I want to see that.
I want to see Steven Stamkos sweating because his team is down 3-1 in a series.
And just prove the fact that you can't win a championship in the season.
If you're going to sprint to the finish, you better be able to make it through the last couple of miles. That's for sure.
There you go.
But that's one of those things I don't want to see changed. Leave it the way it is. Let the rivalries fester for the fans because we love the game.
But the NHLPA can opt out of this.
Which is the problem.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I don't like. I get it. Yeah. I understand that's in the CBA and that's what they can do. But I don't like that option.
Yeah.
Because it's going to ruin, again, if it was Winnipeg versus, and I'm just going to throw this out there, Winnipeg versus San Jose in the first round, I'm not excited for that series.
No.
I don't care.
There's no rivalry. There's no hatred between two teams. There's nothing there.
I don't care. That's what it comes down to.
It can build, right? But I mean,
if it's Colorado and Calgary in the first round, I don't care.
No.
Sorry, I don't. I hate to say it.
Yeah. Dallas.
If it's the Islanders against Carolina.
Yeah.
I am not watching that series.
No. But you can get a Winnipeg, Minnesota, a Winnipeg, even Dallas. I mean, an interdivision.
Where there's a little bit of hatred there.
Yeah, a little bit of hatred. I mean, Winnipeg hasn't played well against Dallas this year, so it would be interesting to get that first-round matchup. It'd
100%.
Be scary.
I mean, for Winnipeg, one and three this season against Dallas and crapped the bed the other night against them, so we'll see if that change is coming up. But that could be the first-round matchup, which would be good. And again, I look at this and I go, I look at that setup again and I go, I think back to like the Florida-New Jersey series that they used to have in the one versus eight playoff series, and I just go, nobody came to watch that. There were empty seats in the stands, let alone nobody watching it on TV. Yeah. So, to me, that's don't waste my time on that. Just keep it the way it is. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you disagree with me. You can always phone in and call and tell me I'm an idiot.
Been wrong before, so
I don't mind being wrong. But if you want to call in and tell me I'm an idiot, then by all means, feel free.
204-269-8636.
There you go. Speaking of idiots.
Uh-oh, who do we got now?
Well, I'm not particularly excited to the fact that Mackenzie Weegar is in the news this week for being bigger and stronger than Paul Byron, and that's a known fact, considering that Byron's 5'9", 165 pounds, and Weegar is 6 feet tall and 200 pounds.
Yeah.
If you missed it, in the game, Florida versus Montreal the other night, basically a nothing game for Florida and Montreal trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. Those two met as a result of a hit back in mid-January where Paul Byron threw an admittedly dirty hit. He admitted that it was high hit. It caught Uyghur's head. He admitted to doing wrong.
Yep.
He said he'd be willing to take this. He took the 3-game suspension the NHL handed out, didn't say a peep about it, didn't appeal it, didn't do anything. He publicly apologized to Weegar, and he took the medicine that was delivered.
Took the punishment.
And then Weegar decides that he's going to throw a little retribution down on Paul Byron this week by squaring off with him. And again, Paul Byron kind of sheepishly said, yeah, I'll do it. I'll fight you.
Yeah.
But I think it was one of those things where it was like, all right, let's just get this over with so I can get back on to playing my game.
Yeah.
And then Weegar absolutely cold cocked him, just caught him on the jaw, put him down. Yeah. He had to skate off with help, concussed now, probably out for at least a week.
Yeah.
And Montreal's playoff hopes suddenly take a serious nosedive because Paul Byron has been playing well for the Canadiens.
That's your second line center?
I believe he's second line, yeah.
I believe he's second line center. I mean, that's... And he's a firecracker. Like he brings a lot to that Montreal Canadiens offense.
Agent J.P. Barry, Byron's agent, J.P. Barry, said via text to the Athletics' Pierre LeBrun, quote, "This wasn't a hockey fight. Paul knew he had to deal with it then or likely later. Paul gives up 5 inches and 50 pounds to a very tough player. How is this the code?" Yeah. And I agree with this. Rule number one of the code says never embarrass your opponent. I mean, we're talking about traditional hockey fights now, but rule number one says never embarrass your opponent. And Uyghur's legitimately fighting outside his weight class. He's fighting down his weight class. You can fight up your weight up a weight class.
That's in the code.
You're allowed to take on a guy bigger than you, but you can, as a bigger guy, you're not allowed to go up to the smaller guys and push him around. That's called bullying in most cases.
Yeah.
But Uyghur skated over, discussed it with Byron. Byron agreed to it. Byron said okay, thinking, I would think the same thing. Like, all right, just, you know, give me a couple punches, roll wrestle a little bit, end up on the ice. And Uyghur absolutely teed off on him. And Byron's out now.
Yeah.
Is this... The answer is going to be no, because it's not a suspendable action.
Yep.
But should there be... How do you fix this now so that this kind of crap doesn't go on anymore? Because Uyghur should have been fighting somebody like a Chris Nylon or a Todd Ewan or somebody... And again, I'm only using those two because they were known enforcers at the time. A bigger guy, a guy Shea Weber sized, as opposed to a guy Paul Byron sized. This would be like if Zdeno Chara came over and said to Johnny Gaudreau, "It's go time, we're going."
Yeah.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
Yeah, and maybe it's not Uyghur fighting; it's someone down Byron's weight class that fights Byron.
Sure, and that's fine. Yeah.
Going down like that. I mean, it's a tough part of the game. It used to be handled. At the time it happened,
right?
It used to be that type of, and it's not now. Now we're holding grudges for long periods of time and waiting for those opportunities.
Three months if you're Mackenzie Uyghur.
I mean, maybe this is something that the NHL can look at and say, you know what, this incident happened. This guy paid the penalty for what he did. Now, if there's something that happens, if this guy goes after the guy that hit him. That's a suspendable offense, going after someone and making them fight you.
See, and that's the thing is that you can't say that he made him fight him because again, Byron agreed to it.
Yeah.
But that's where I think the suspendable option should be there, because there was no reason for Uyghur to fight Byron other than it's a makeup call. It's a makeup for what he got hit with.
Yeah.
And again, Byron served a suspension. He took his punishment, didn't say a peep about it. He sat out, you know, gave up his 3 games worth of pay, and then came back and started playing hockey again. Didn't throw another dirty hit. Yeah. It's not like he has a history of dirty hits. He apologized publicly to Uyghur, said, I screwed up.
Yeah.
Give me my suspension and I'll run with it.
It's a revenge thing, and that should not be part of the game.
But that's exactly correct.
Yeah.
This is, and I hate to put it in these terms, but this is legitimately as close as I may have seen in the last few years to what Todd Bertuzzi did to Steve Moore.
Very, very similar, yeah.
And I'm not saying the results are the same.
No, for sure not.
I mean, nobody wishes that upon anybody.
No.
But the fact that somebody from a team went after a player months later to exact revenge is a serious problem.
Yeah, and a guy that, you know, I'm not going to say twice the size, but a guy quite a bit bigger than...
Right.
Right? It was the same situation with Bertuzzi and Moore. Bertuzzi was a bigger guy. I mean, he came from behind, a different story in that sense. But,
right.
But the same idea, right? It's the same idea. And so, you know, maybe it's both guys getting suspended. You know, if Paul Byron decides to fight, you know, even if he gets hurt, it's... telling these two guys, if you guys fight, if this is a revenge thing, then you're both being suspended, but one guy getting more than the other.
But I don't think you can suspend Byron for that, because again, he's not going into it going, I'm going to fight Uyghur tonight. I got to fight Uyghur tonight. Yeah. He knows it's coming down the line, because Uyghur's out there looking for blood at that point.
But if he tells Uyghur no, and then Uyghur jumps him, well, then Uyghur's getting more games.
Uyghur's as he
getting
should.
A bigger suspension. Yeah. So I think if this happens where it's a guy saying, okay, let's fight, well, he's going to get one. The guy that is getting revenge gets two. Paul Byron says no, he jumps him. A guy like Uyghur gets 3 or 4, whatever it is. It's got to be, you know, there's got to be some sort of deterrent for these things. And suspensions is really the only way you can do it. Fines, see, maybe fine these guys. I don't know.
And see, I don't know if, and again, I don't know how it works with the officials, but if I'm the referees in that game, if I'm one of those two referees, I'm already over the bench at the beginning of the game going, if he thinks he's going to go down and fight Paul Byron because of what happened in January, the moment those gloves come off, he's ejected from the game.
Yeah.
Uyghur's gone.
And if these officials don't know about that, which I'm guaranteeing they know about it, someone higher up in that officiating pool,
somebody screwed up bad.
Somebody's got to let them know, right? So, yeah, I agree too. Like, this has got to be handled by officials. It's got to be handled by the NHL better. It's got to be handled by the teams better.
And if the coaches don't, again, I understand, you know, Bob Bugner was a fighter when he was in the NHL. He was a tough guy in the NHL. But if Bob Bugner doesn't go over and say, you're not fighting Paul Byron tonight, Bob Bugner as a coach has let his team down. Has let Mackenzie Weegar down.
Yeah.
And again, Weegar shouldn't even have this going through his head. And I know that it's, maybe he thinks it's part of the code in terms of, you know, getting, of you know, sort of leveling that playing field and making things right. And Paul Byron, who accepted the fight, who knew that he had going into it, probably that he had to deal with this at some point, as JP Barry said in his text to Pierre LeBrun.
Yeah.
But at what point do you go, all right, a few punches and then we're done? Like, you're not there to break the guy's jaw.
Yeah. Yeah, if anything, it should have been, you know, a wrestling match, if anything.
Right, exactly.
Just to tell the guy, you know what?
Couple of punches and we're done.
A couple shots, maybe some body shots or whatever.
Right.
And then tell the guy, you know what, maybe, you know,
next time don't throw that hit.
Yeah, next time be careful, you know. And
right. I accept your apology. Don't throw that hit on me again. But I guess we're not going
to
get that.
But we'll go back to Drew Doughty. Sometimes people don't respect other people.
No, I get that, so... I'm going to take a quick break for the legal ID here, folks. It's going to be a good one, just fun one in terms of everything that's going on here. So stay tuned. We'll be back in about 30 seconds after this legal ID, and we're going to talk a few more little pieces of information and then on to a big announcement because we got big things happening in the next week. So stay tuned for that, everybody, here on the Hockey Show, 101.5 UMFM.
UMFM made the unprecedented move in hiring radio consultant Ron Swanson to improve the operations of the station. Will we see major changes?
Normally, if given a choice between doing something and nothing, I'd choose to do nothing. But I will do something if it helps someone else do nothing. I'd work all night if it meant nothing got done.
You're listening to 101.5 UMFM.
Little Ron Swanson there for you.
Probably one of my favorite characters in a TV show ever.
Do you want to hear it? No, I got a couple more if you want to hear a couple more here.
Give me Ron Swanson all
you
day.
You want some Ron Swanson again?
Give me Ron Swanson.
Let's get some more Ron Swanson.
UMFM made the unprecedented move in hiring radio consultant Ron Swanson to help its employees reach new levels of productivity. What have you observed about the employees since arriving?
I came here for the same reason people go to the zoo. Shh. Look at that thing. Nature is amazing.
You're listening to CJUMFM 101.5.
There's another one. You want another one? I got one more.
Give me one more.
I got one more.
Give me one more.
One more. Hold on.
UMFM made the unprecedented move in hiring radio consultant Ron Swanson to improve employee and volunteer morale at the station. What have you implemented so far?
The Human Resources Department requires that I be available once a month to discuss workplace disputes with employees. The rules do not specify whether or not I'm allowed to listen to Willie Nelson on my headphones.
You're listening to 101.5 UMFM.
So yeah, there's a little Ron Swanson helping out around the station.
That's probably the most disappointed I've ever been when that show was taken off.
Yeah, Parks and Rec was taken off. Yeah. Ron Swanson will live on a little bit more. There's a few more things we're going to get him to work on. He's got a Pledgerama one that we're working on as well. So he might be back for pledge time in October there.
We should get him on the show.
I may have to put out a call. Him and his wife,
him and Megan Mullally, that would be great.
That's for Sling, though. They're doing that for Sling, aren't they?
I don't know.
That's where they sling. Come on over. Bring your mom.
I don't know.
Just saying. That's what's going on with Ron Swanson anyway. So a little bit of fun with Ron as we get into the second half of the show here on 101.5 UMFM. It is a hockey show. News out of Tampa Bay. Speaking of Tampa, we talked a little bit. Tampa Bay signed head coach John Cooper to a multi-year contract extension, reportedly between $3.5 and $4 million a year. Although apparently nobody's confirmed that yet, and nobody can confirm for how long. So
yeah, I was going to say that seems low for
a John Cooper.
He hasn't won.
Hold on, currently the longest tenured head coach in the NHL.
Yeah.
His record with the Lightning is an amazing, and this is in the era of parity, don't forget.
Yeah.
His record with the Lightning is an amazing 301, 157, and 44.
Cool.
301, 157, and 44. He's basically like
That's
clipping
like a 75% winning percentage.
He's basically clipping on like a 700 winning percentage. He's led the Lightning to in the Eastern Conference Final three times and a trip to the Stanley Cup in 2015. On top of that, the Lightning, who this year have a record of 59-14-3, have a chance to break the record set by the 95-96 Detroit Red Wings of 62 wins. They have 5 games remaining, while they'll play Washington at home before finishing their season on the road at Montreal, Boston, Ottawa, and Toronto as they sweep through the division to finish off their season. But they are 3 wins away from tying, 4 from breaking. And that, and it's entirely possible that they could do it.
Yeah. Is that... Did Detroit win Stanley Cup that year, 95-96?
Detroit did win the Stanley Cup that year.
Okay. Well, may the odds be ever in their favor.
So I mean,
we know how Tampa performs in the playoffs.
But I mean, you look at what Mike Babcock's getting in Toronto. It's $6 million a season,
yeah,
and John Cooper is legitimately coming in at yeah. for peanuts. If you're looking at his record overall, so
yeah, that's a bargain for him. And I mean, he wants to be in Tampa. I think he said that he really wants to stay in Tampa.
Sure, so, and I don't blame him.
So maybe it's him taking a little.
I mean,
bit
don't
of
get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I would love to be in Tampa as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, but I've been to Tampa. I didn't like it when I was in Tampa. But anyways. That's a different story.
Yeah, but you can live in St. Petersburg though. It's just across the bay.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, the guy wants to stay. I mean, he's got a great team under him. He's got a lot of young talent too. That's going to be there for a long time. It's an easy decision for him, and it could be the fact that they maybe said, you know, we could give you 6, but we really don't want to. Can you take 4? And he probably would have been okay.
You know what? I'm pretty certain that. Yeah, it didn't matter what you're going to offer him. I think he likes where he is. So
John Cooper probably just goes, guys, go on the ice, do your thing.
10 years ago, guys, I was making like $50,000 in the A, so or in the E. Yeah. I'll take this.
Yeah.
Jets crapped the bed against Dallas again last week.
The inconsistency
this week.
Continues.
Right. They play an outstanding game against Nashville, and then they come in and they play all of like 6 minutes against Dallas.
Yeah.
Are we ever going to see the real Jets show up, or are they just going to say, you know what, starting the playoffs, we're going to change the way we play entirely? Because it sounds like against the Islanders tonight.
Yes.
Tough game against the Islanders.
Good Islanders team. A playoff-bound Islanders
Playoff-bound Islanders team, exactly. And then they got a Montreal who's trying to keep their head above water.
Ooh, they have not played Montreal well of late either.
Exactly. They played poorly in the Bell Center earlier this year.
Yeah.
And then they're on the road for the remainder of the
last 4 games of the year.
So it's a tough closeout here for them.
They could finish 3rd in this division yet in the Central.
To be honest, and I'll say this as nicely as I can, St. Louis is probably the scariest team in the division right now.
Yeah. They have come on strong. I mean,
not finish 2nd because you get St. Louis.
Yeah.
You have to finish 1st or 4th.
Yeah, I mean, and the inconsistency also has been a thing with St. Louis too. So I think this division itself, the Central itself, there's been a lot of inconsistency.
Yeah.
But the Jets have to be better. Playoff time, maybe it's the playoff time comes on, it'll turn it on like they did last year. I'm hoping. We'll see what happens.
So Jets get Canadians at home on Saturday, and then, as I said, they won the season with their last 4 games. Blackhawks, Wild, which will be a tough game. Avalanche, who they don't play well against, and then the Coyotes, who are trying to click on all cylinders right now as well to get into the playoffs, and it looks like they might get into the playoffs the way they're playing right now.
Yeah, and I think who's below them is Minnesota.
Minnesota is right below them, and let me just check.
So who's in the first wild card right now?
Dallas, who we play
so
right now.
Dallas, Arizona.
Yes. Dallas, Arizona are the 2 wild card teams that are sitting there right now. The other teams that have a shot at it again. Oh no, sorry. Colorado is ahead of them. Is ahead of Arizona right now by 2 points.
Yeah.
Dallas is 86, Colorado 83, Arizona 81. Minnesota's got 79. Chicago, who if they lose to the Jets, likely will be out at that point. They have 76 points. Edmonton's also got 76, but Edmonton has been we wrote them off long ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and Colorado has been a big surprise because everyone thought when Gabriel Landeskog went out, that team was going to crap the bed.
Yeah.
And they've stayed with the pack.
So here's the problem. St. Louis has 90 points, has a game in hand on Nashville. Nashville has 92 points. St. Louis could have a home playoff date after basically blown off that first month with no wins or two
being
wins
last
or whatever.
In the division.
But they're also 4 points behind Winnipeg and have played the same number of games. You kind of go, man, like St. Louis could end up being first place if Nashville and Winnipeg struggle down the stretch here.
Yeah, and it's kind of like
you could have a first round Winnipeg Nashville series.
They actually it's funny how St. Louis is kind of snuck in the door. Nobody's after they're such a slow start. Nobody's talked about them, and they still haven't talked about them. And now all of a sudden they're they're 4 points out of first place. Like, it's incredible what turnaround season they've had. So
if you're St. Louis, you have 6 games remaining on the schedule. You play the Rangers tomorrow. They're pretty much useless. So they're done. The Devils, who are awful.
Also useless.
But again, you're on the road.
Yeah.
Avalanche go into St. Louis. Then they go on the road against the Blackhawks. Again, a tough game for the Blackhawks. Let's just write them out right now.
Yeah.
And then they finish with the Flyers and Canucks, who are both going to likely miss the playoffs.
That's an easy...
St. Louis likely has the best shot of winning the Central right now.
St. Louis can get 12 points in the next 6 games, potentially, with the schedule they have.
If they get, I'm going to say right now, if they get 9 of 12 points, they win the division.
Yeah. I think everybody else has a definitely a tougher road for the last few games.
Jets still have a chance. Yeah. Nashville, though, if they... I mean, I'll quickly take a look at the Nashville schedule, but I don't like the fact that St. Louis is... They've come on. They've been strong. Nashville's last 6 games are... last 5 games. Penguins, tough game.
Yep.
They're in Pittsburgh tomorrow. Blue Jackets at Nashville.
Fighting for a playoff spot.
Who will come in probably fighting hard. At the Sabres... At home versus the Canucks, at home versus the Blackhawks are done.
Yeah.
Blackhawks going to have the Jets, Blues, and Predators, they're done.
Yeah. So I mean, I think out of the teams, Jets look like they have the hardest remaining games.
Yes, by far.
Yeah, so.
Considering the Predators beat the Wild 1-0 on Monday, I don't like the fact that the Jets have this tough schedule.
Yeah.
The Jets could end up in third and play either St. Louis or Nashville, and that would be, and we'd be the road team. We'd only have 3 home games.
Maybe they
it's
want,
a tough
maybe
schedule.
They want that, hoping they play Nashville again, like, and they have the series.
I don't know. I don't know if you really want to roll the dice.
Jets have
like
played
that.
So good against Nashville this year. It's these other teams. I think they played against St. Louis pretty well this year too. But that was at the beginning. They played St. Louis at the beginning of the year a lot, and they got all those wins against the St. Louis team that wasn't very good. So it's a different matchup. But I'm almost in favor of a first-round Winnipeg-Nashville series the way Winnipeg has played against Nashville this year.
So in saying that, Winnipeg at home is 25-10-4, best home record in the Central Division. Mm-hmm. Away, they're 20-17-0. They don't play well Winnipeg Arena, or away from LMTS places.
Isn't this they tied for the most road wins in franchise history this
year?
Sure,
which is fine.
Except
Nashville has 20 road wins, and so does St. Louis.
Yeah, so they're not good road teams.
No, I mean they're better.
Decent road teams, 15-4
for Nashville, 20-12-6 for St. Louis.
Yeah, so a lot more points for St. Louis on the road.
And in their last 10, here are the teams in the last 10. Winnipeg 6-4-0, Nashville 6-3-1, St. Louis 6-2-2.
So they're like all the same right now. Everyone,
it's not going to be easy. Like, that's the thing.
You want that first seed so you don't have to play one another.
Exactly. Yeah. Let Nashville and St. Louis kill each other so you can get by them.
But like I said, I'm okay with Winnipeg playing Nashville in the first year just based on how well Winnipeg has played Nashville this year.
Well, you don't. I mean, again, you're looking at a couple of options there, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough, tough series one way or the other. So that whole, I'm happy about it. Not happy about any
of
that.
So now we're not happy about the playoff format.
I'm happy about the playoff format. I'm just not happy about the schedule going down the stretch there.
Yeah, I know.
Finally, want to make a quick mention. Big congratulations go to the Calgary Inferno, the CWHL. They did win the Clarkson Cup this past weekend and featured a number of Manitobans. Hallie Krzaniak and Bridget Laquette, which is always nice to see for those two. Obviously, some Canada West alumni, Lindsay Post, one of the goaltenders, and Caitlin Willoughby, who played for the Saskatchewan Huskies last year. And then, obviously, big, big part of this team in terms of winning the national championship with the Bisons last year, Venla Hovi, one of the key players there as well. So congratulations to all of them and the remaining team anyway from Calgary as they get to celebrate a little bit right now. So
just a one game series?
Or? Yeah, the final's always a one game, one gamer.
But don't do the rounds before? Or?
They play best of three.
Why is it that? Is it just because the travel? Like the?
It's because of the whole, they got to book a big arena for all the people, and then if they book, you're not going to get the sellouts and that you're looking for. It's all about financials at that point. And I hate to say it that way, but if you can sell out an arena once as opposed to getting a couple thousand people three times, it's much better for the sellout. It's a much better game for the sellout.
Yeah, I guess so.
But hey, they won. That's all that matters. Big victory for them. Brianna Decker was named MVP, which I don't think she should have won, but that's besides the point. Well, she played well. Don't get me wrong. She played well.
Not the winning team, though.
No, she is.
She's Calgary.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she played.
No,
well, Hillary Knight. I thought it was.
But I don't think she was the best player on the ice that game. That's the only thing. So we'll have to see. But or well, next month, we'll
someone
see,
had
we'll see
someone had two goals that game.
Yes.
Can't remember her name, but
if you ask me off the top here,
doesn't mean you're the best player on the ice, but. Usually the one that scores the most.
Zoe Hickel. I thought she would be the MVP. She had an outstanding game, actually. So
there you go.
Yeah, there you go. But so congratulations to Calgary as they hold on to the Clarkson Cup for at least the summer, and we'll go back at it next October as they get back into their season. Obviously, if you're in those areas, Calgary or the Greater Toronto area with Markham in Toronto, Montreal, even Worcester, who's got the Worcester Blades down there.
Worcester.
Get out and see those teams play because it's been an outstanding season so far for them in terms of the way they've played so far. So
got to get more teams out west.
It's tough because
got to build this league.
I mean, it's
exciting hockey. It's
financials
hockey.
Though, right? I mean, that's the problem. You run into the financial issue again, and why? I hate to say it that way, but that's the way it is.
Just people throw money at it.
We could if
we got some deep pockets in these provinces out west.
There have been talks, and I know this from speaking to a couple of people, there have been talks with various centers in Western Canada to try and bring a team in. The question is profitability.
Yeah.
And that's always been the question.
And Winnipeg can't afford to bring another team in at this
point. And that's the problem. I look at it and you go, you got WHL, you got AHL, you got NHL, you've got MJHL, you've got U Sports, you've got... There's more hockey in Winnipeg than ever before, and you think like 20 years ago, we had no teams.
Yeah.
After the Jets left.
96.
I mean, we had a few, but nothing
that
was huge.
Wait a few years for the Moose to come back, to come here, but...
Well, I mean, it took a little bit, but yeah. So, I don't know if anybody's ready for this, but we're gonna get it going here, because it starts next week, everybody. So, if you're not aware, here's what you'll hear next week
Get ready to put us on the speed dial.
On this show. Bring it up.
Here it comes.
Hold on. Hold on.
You're building suspense.
Nope. There we go. Here it comes.
Suspense.
Hello, Canada and hockey fans in the United States and here from Ryan.
As we get back into NHL Survivor next, as NHL, like Survivor NHL Playoffs, as we like to call it, Survivor NHL Playoffs next week, folks, the contest will start again. We will take 16 entrants. 16 only can get in. And we will go over all the ground rules you need to know today, as well as explain them quickly at the beginning of next week's show as well. Starting at 5:30 next week, we will accept entries for anybody that wants to get in via phone or... via Twitter.
Ooh.
And I only say via Twitter because I understand that some people won't be around their phone, but we are going to make sure that the people who are on the phone get the first opportunity to pick. And the reason for that is because the phone will play an integral part of Survivor later in the contest.
Yep.
So if you're going to phone in, you want to phone in. Again, speed dial this right now. If you're going to put it in, 204-269-8636. We are going to need you to call.
And usually if you have the Twitter, you can probably use the phone.
If you've got the Twitter, it's generally on your phone, I would agree.
Generally.
So let's be honest with that. In saying that, though, here's why it's going to be important that you get in. Again, 16 people, you get to select a random number, 1 to 16, and you will get a randomly selected team of the 16 NHL playoff competitors. You will follow the playoffs much like you do in Survivor. As your team goes on, obviously it's great to see them win. It's great to see them do well. But the moment that they're eliminated, you're on the hot spot now. You're on the hot seat because you will likely hear the setup for Tribal Council as you have to come in and give us the exit interview for your team. So again, you can talk about anybody you want. I know we had a number of people last year that had some fun with it last year. Mm-hmm. We've done this a couple years in a row now where people have given us some great, great setups in terms of,
tons of fun.
Having some fun with it. But you will hear, you know, things, if I can get Tribal Council will come up. We'll have a little discussion. We'll get things going.
And our best bud, we'll hear Jeff Probst.
You will hear Jeff. You'll get to hear the exit song that we play under your exit interview.
Haven't heard from him for a while.
Haven't, but he's going to be here.
That's good. Live and in studio, I've heard.
He will, rumors. He will, as we tally the votes, get everything going, you will get to hear the setup here from, where's Jeff? Oh, here's Jeff.
Five is ready.
That'll be your signal to call.
Cue to call.
Survivors, again, I'm going to play that again just so you can hear it.
Drivers ready.
Go! That'll be your signal to call. Get your phone calls in because, again, you'll be able to get in and get this. There is no cost to play. This is a free contest we offer every single year. Last year, there were some great prizes. Terry ended up winning it. I know that Terry has already indicated that she will be coming back to play this year.
What did Terry
defend
win?
Defend her title. She won the Victory Green Dallas Stars NHL jersey last year. We will have some fun extra prizes that go out to people for the mini challenges that we put out, the first team to be eliminated, you know, that kind of stuff. But you'll be able to get in, you'll be able to see how your team does. And again, winner takes all, just like in Survivor. The final person will win whatever the major grand prize is. Working with a couple of people right now, a couple of companies right now. We'll see what we can get for the grand prize this year. It likely will be another NHL jersey. I just don't know which one yet.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you want in, the first 16 people to call will get in ahead of the cutoff time, I'll say, as we look to set this up and get everything going. So once you're in, you're in. There'll be weekly updates here on the Hockey Show as we talk a little bit about Survivor each and every week. And from there, the only thing you don't want to hear, obviously, is obviously you don't want to hear this line from Jeff Probst either. So I get this going.
That was a very big blindside, and that makes things very unpredictable. Good night. The torches head back to camp. Good night.
That usually means you got upset. So
with this playoff format,
it could happen.
You bet.
It could certainly happen. And you never really want to hear this part because that usually means that your playoff pool is done.
Travis spoken.
So we'll have all of that. We'll get all that set up for next week. We'll have some fun with that. So if you're interested in playing in the Survivor NHL playoffs pool that we run every year, you got to be one of the 16. You got to call in. We'll give you the numbers that are remaining. Obviously, if there's been numbers that are picked, we'll tell you which ones have been picked so you don't pick them twice. But it's one team, one person, just like your generic Survivor-style office pool. And we will run it the entire playoff run. And every time a team is eliminated, we will call one of the players up, one of the contestants up here, and we will have you do the exit interview.
The only requirement to this is you have to be capable of having fun. Really, pretty much the only requirement.
You know, I was going to say it's funny because you kind of laugh at you know stuff that's going on in the playoffs and stuff or whatever. But it's actually way more fun when people are like, and again, you may not even like the team you get. You may hate the team that you get.
The chances are you probably will hate the team you get.
But it legitimately will be. That makes such a good exit interview. And you kind of laugh at the people that got caught, you know, in terms of doing, you know, I don't really watch this team. I have no idea. And you kind of go, okay, well, whatever. And there are some people who we call and they just never return our calls.
Yeah.
And then we do a goofy style interview for them.
Yeah.
But it's always, always better when we get somebody who absolutely loves it.
And it also makes the playoffs more interesting for you as a fan of the game is that, you know, you might not necessarily watch that team play through the playoffs, but now you're like, you have an interest in that team because they might win you some special prizes.
Again, last year, Terry had Washington. Didn't want Washington whatsoever. And sure enough, what happened?
Stanley Cup, and she gets a prize.
And that's what happened. Before that, 2 years before that, in back-to-back years in what is the most unlikely situation, Tom won 2 years in a row with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah.
Random picks the Penguins twice, and they win the Stanley Cup 2 years in a row.
That's to me, the odds of that happening are virtually indescribable, but the fact that...
And we've had some people, like already said, they want to play, so they're going to be on the phone ready to go, so you better get your number dialing fingers ready.
And that's the thing, is that if one of your buddies gets in, one of your friends gets in, get in there and have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, who cares, right?
You might get matched up against them and mix for some good rivalries.
Maybe one of the best exit interviews that we've had, and I mean, we'll post this all. One of the best exit interviews that we've ever had, well, not we had, but Survivor ever had, Jeff Kent, if you remember Jeff Kent, former Major League Baseball player, Jeff Kent, he went on like a 20-second rant where it was kind of, what are you talking about? But
you know what pisses me off? Because I think I've made about $60 million playing baseball, and I want this freaking $1 million in this game. And it's not $1 million, it's $600,000.
Now we're not going to give away $1 million, but...
And not $600,000 either.
Yeah, there's no money involved whatsoever. No. But the fact that you have a chance to win something for nothing is pretty cool, and certainly one of the biggest contests that we run out of UMFM every single year. This is a great contest, and we're happy to bring it back to everybody again this year. So if you're interested in playing, again, get your dialing fingers ready, because we're looking at having 16 people come in and be part of it, and we want you to be part of it if you want to come on and do that. So just be prepared, because you may not get the team you like. I know there's been a couple of people. I know for certain there's one person who has already said that they want the Jets, and I'm like, that's not how it works. I know who you want, but that's not how the contest works.
And that's what makes it fun, because we know who you want.
Right.
And then I get to see who you get.
And you get to make the announcement.
I get to laugh about it.
You get to make the announcement.
I get to laugh about it. It makes my day. So.
I mean, and we feel bad, because when people get the Toronto Maple Leafs, we have to, you know, sort of coddle them a little bit. But
because somebody will get the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Unfortunately,
this year.
That will be an option. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it, though. I think it's going to be fun again this year. So if you want to get in, you want to be part of that again, get ready for next week, 204-269-8636 for next week. On that show, once we run through the quick little bit of rules again, you'll hear Jeff Probst give you the ready survivors go, and then it's all bets are off. You can call in, get your team.
And if you hear the busy tone on the phone, just keep calling.
Yeah, don't be afraid to call again and again and again until you get in.
Yeah.
Reason being is that we know there's going to be at least six or seven people that have said they're definitely calling. So. It's going to be fun. I'm excited for it already. So
it's one of the most wonderful times of the year.
For sure. And I mean, I know that we like to have a little bit of fun with it, but at the same time, though, it's always good getting everybody else involved. The interactivity that we have with our contestants in this contest is so much fun, especially when they do the exit interviews.
And it's nice to hear from our listeners too.
Yeah. So. I mean, we want to make sure that you guys get something back from us. I mean, yeah, you have to compete for it.
Yeah.
And yeah, you have to hope that.
But we're a hockey show. You got to compete for everything.
It's a 1 in 16 chance of winning. The odds are pretty good. Not the best, but pretty good.
And you don't even have to compete. You just have to pick a number.
Right. I mean, and then maybe watch a few games and go, okay, I know this team's not very good.
And then maybe make another phone call. And
yeah. Well, no, we'll call you.
Fun. Yeah.
We'll call you in terms of being
but having fun with it, right? Yeah. So that's the whole point. That's what we love to do here is have fun.
So Survivor starts next week. Survivor NHL playoff starts next week. You can keep up to date with who's in and who's out on Hockey Blog in Canada. I'll have that information up as well. But that will start next week. Make sure that you're ready to go for that. We're basically out of time again here, Bean, in terms of getting out of here. Anything you want to say before we go here?
Yeah, I mean, everybody just call in next week. I mean, it's fun. The playoff time for the NHL is a wonderful time of the year, and everybody has fun, but you can have just that much more fun with it. But coming phoning us here at the radio station at the hockey show and getting in and having a good time.
So. Yeah, and we'll have somebody set up on the phone, like I said, to make sure things are going well. We'll have you on the radio to actually do your selection. You'll be able to hear you won't have to hear yourself right away. We hope that you turn your volume down while you're listening to us. But if you want to hear yourself on the podcast, hear where everybody got, we can do that for you as well. But looking at everything that's going to happen next week, I'm already excited to get this going. So make sure you tune in. Make sure you get that going next week. Make sure that you have your phone handy. You can tweet in. We will take tweets, but we will make sure that phone callers get priority. So make sure you're calling in.
If you're on Twitter, you're most likely can talk to us on the phone.
Right. So do that if you can. We're out here for another week, though, folks. We stay tuned for Free Range Radio. It's coming up right away. Here are the headstones. Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald once more on 101.5 UMFM, the new one from the headstones. Beans? Congratulations on the championship. I just want to get that in once more.
Still feeling the effects of it.
Right on. With that, we're out of here for another week, everybody. Tune in next week for Survivor NHL playoffs here on the Hockey Show, 101.5 UMFM. The American side coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain, well seasoned.